Tony, why 1968?
1968 was a unique year, I think. I think within the 20th century, there was no other year had as many major events happen, either in terms of the number of events that happened as well as the impact of those events. And we are still seeing the impact from those events today. As some of the major ones that happened, of course, we were in the middle of the Vietnam War, and 1968 was really the peak year of the Vietnam War, and it was really the turning point of the Vietnam War.
What was that turning point?
The turning point was, I think, categorized by a couple different events. One actually took place in January, and that was the Tet Offensive. Coming into 1968, many polls indicated that there was still an overall approval of the public of the Vietnam War. But the Tet Offensive happened. It was a major attack, coordinated attack of most of the cities in South Vietnam. And it was a surprise attack. Our intelligence did have some information that it was going to be taking place, but we didn't act on it sufficiently. So when the films essentially reached people's homes via the evening news, they saw what was happening and they saw what was really going on there. And just a little bit later in February of 1968, Walter Cronkite, who was the most respected news person in America, and by
yeah,
some polls,
yeah, I grew up on him too.
Oh,
he was
great.
The voice in our house every night.
We saw him every night, and his management in early February had asked him to go to Vietnam, and they said, "You know, Walter, the public wants to know what's going on over there. We were giving them the straight news, but we'd like you to give an opinion." Which was, he kind of bristled at first because he didn't like to give opinions. He wanted to give the straight news,
yeah.
But he decided, yes, it would be in the best interests of the American public. They would like to have an objective read. So he went there in early February. And then on the 27th of February, actually, there was a TV show called Walter Cronkite's Report from Vietnam. And after showing what had gone on over there, he concluded by saying he was afraid that the best we could do was a stalemate and go home an honorable people. And that really coincided then with, you know, again, Tet Offensive and then Walter Cronkite in January and February. And then in March, late March on the 26th, President Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, had a meeting with his new Secretary of Defense, Clark Clifford, who had replaced Robert McNamara, as well as Secretary of State Dean Rusk. And up until that time, his cabinet had given him favorable feedback on the Vietnam War. They said, yes, this is what we want to do. And suddenly, that was no longer it. And from their standpoint, from President Johnson's cabinet, they said, no, this is not a winnable war. We need to find a way out of it right away. So just a few days later, on the 31st of March, President Johnson announced, and I remember this, he gave a 40-minute speech to the U.S. from the White House, and at the end of it, he basically said, I don't want to spend a minute doing anything like campaigning during this election year, and accordingly, I will not seek and I will not accept the nomination of my party as another term of as your president. And I can remember looking at my mom, who had become half asleep by that time, and we kind of looked at each other and said, did he just say what we think he said? So that was just something that was completely unexpected. By that time, really, the dominoes were kind of scattered, and the presidential race was wide open.
And, of course, although you're covering a lot of territory in this not skinny book, day by day you go through the year, but the ones that pop out at me that we probably remember the most 50 years later, Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, those are two huge events in that year.
Yes.
So if you can talk about that a little.
Well, yes, they certainly are. And by that point, Martin Luther King, in addition to civil rights, and by March he was going to Memphis already, and of course in early April he would be assassinated in Memphis at the Lorraine Hotel. But he was starting to go to support the sanitation worker strike that was going on there. The sanitation workers in Memphis had not been treated fairly, and two of them had been killed in an industrial accident. Essentially, they'd been in the back of a garbage truck and were killed that way. So there were massive demonstrations, and then on the 4th of April, he was assassinated as he was getting ready to have to go out that evening. Then after he was killed, and he was killed just shortly after 6 p.m., that news actually did hit the evening news in some of the time zones in the United States. People were very upset, and that's when rioting began throughout the United States. There had been some student protests and so forth, but many of those had been peaceful. But when Dr. King was killed, that is when the rioting began. And the rioting did impact virtually all of the major American cities and some of the smaller ones, the exception being Indianapolis, Indiana. Bobby Kennedy was there, Senator Robert Kennedy, the New York senator. And by that time, he had announced that he was running for president. And he gave a speech at a park there. And there's a monument now that has both Dr. King and Senator Kennedy on it. And Senator Kennedy said, "I can only imagine what you're going through, but I did go through a similar thing with a member of my family as well. His brother had been killed less than 5 years before that. And he had broken the news to people because it was not an age yet of cell phones. Most of the people had been waiting out in the park and had not heard the news on the radio or certainly on television, so he told them. And as a result, Indianapolis was a city that did not erupt in that kind of violence. Now, as it happens, 1 week, exactly 1 week after that took place, after Dr. King was killed and Robert Kennedy gave that speech, Robert Kennedy happened to be here in Kalamazoo, and he gave a brief speech at the Kalamazoo airport and then stood on the back of a limo and took a ride down to Bronson Park, and he spoke down in downtown Kalamazoo. And a local resident, while Senator Kennedy was standing on the back deck of the car, took his shoe and kept it and had it for a number of years. So that was one of the connections, certainly, that Kalamazoo had to Robert Kennedy and Dr. King that year.
Mm. And then another biggie is a first trip around the moon.
Yes, and that was one quote that I remember from either elementary school or junior high was the beginning that it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And 1968 was certainly all of that, and frankly, most of it was the worst of times. It was the Vietnam War, it was assassinations, it was riots, and riots not only in the United States, but throughout much of the rest of the world, throughout Europe and so forth. A decision was made in August of 1968 that because the lunar module wasn't ready to test in Earth orbit, that NASA changed the mission of Apollo 8 and directed them to orbit the moon. And that news was made public, and on the 21st of December, Apollo 8 was launched, and the crew of Borman, Lovell, and Anders did orbit the moon. And one of the most prominent moments from that was when they orbited the moon on Christmas Eve and actually sent back live images of the moon from orbit, and they read from the first part of Genesis, and that was certainly a memorable time. Yeah. And then they returned, and then after they did get back early the next year, Commander Frank Borman received a letter from one woman that said, "Thank you for saving 1968. So that was certainly a major, major moment. Humankind had traveled farther from Earth than they'd ever been before, and it was just a major technological advancement when we could send people around the moon.
You go through the year, you touch on different fields, sports, art, aviation, music. Any of those smaller ones that maybe are obscure and nobody noticed, except maybe a few people around that event, that pop out at you, that you learned about in putting this book together? And
yes, and there were actually a number of those, but I think one that really stood out took place in December. It was on the 9th of December in San Francisco, and it was a gentleman named Douglas Engelbart, and he was a inventor, a technological genius, an engineer. He had worked for groups such as the NASA Ames Research Center, and he wanted to use technology to help people, and he wanted to find ways that people could work together on multiple computers and find a way to work together. So he gave a 90-minute public demonstration. They called it the Demonstration for the Ages, or the mother of all demos. And in that demonstration, for the first time, he demonstrated the computer mouse, the video conference, word processing, network computers, teleconferencing, file linking, revision control, and also a hypertext system, which, of course, is critical to a lot of the work that we do today and a means of sharing information. And part of that, by the way, I didn't realize until this morning, but part of that is actually captured on YouTube. So if somebody wants to go out, the name is Douglas Engelbart. So it's that was monumental because I didn't know about that. I think most people didn't know about the mouse and some of those things until the mid-'80s.
I'm sure a lot of people didn't get the limelight that they deserved.
Exactly.
You know what I like about the way you've organized this book? When I think back to being a student going through middle school or high school levels, you know, and you study history, you usually take one chunk of history, maybe, you know, the American Revolution or, you know, a president or something. But my mind needed to tie together different events that were going on. You know, here's what's going on in the arts. Here's what's going on in the government. Here's, you know, all of it kind of to develop the big picture of what's going on in the world. And your book does that. So I think you need to write this for every year. And so
it was a chore. Well, part of the reason I wrote it, obviously, it's the name of the book is 1968 plus 50, looking back at the historic tumultuous year of 1968, but late last year, just before Thanksgiving, I realized that the year that we're in right now, 2018, is the 50th anniversary of all those events. There will be news coverage of those. There will be additional books. There will be special programs on television. Mm-hmm. But when it was actually suggested to me that I write the book, and again, this is a little before Thanksgiving, I looked and researched, and I did not find any other book that did that. There are some excellent books out there that talk about a few of the major events or several of the major events, and they do an excellent assessment about the impact of those. This book doesn't do that. This is the book is written, comprised of almost entirely public information, but I tied those ends together and then contributed text of my own, knowing some of the things that did happen and remembering some of the things that did happen. But I thought it would be useful. There is an entry in there for every day of 1968, and I thought it would be useful to approach it from that direction so that people really had a better idea of really not just the major events that took place, which did have a significant impact, and I do go into some detail on those, but also some of the ones that we may not recognize. But and some of those are sort of Jeopardy categories, too. I think a lot of people like watching Jeopardy, and there might be trivia in there that may not have a big impact, but they are certainly interesting, so I wanted to include those as well.
So someone suggested to you to write this? How did the idea come about?
I actually had the idea. I enjoy media that does share historical information and even trivia, interesting facts and so forth. So I did start a Facebook page, which is actually still out there, and it's called 1968 plus 50, the same as the title of the book. And it was after that that somebody said, you should write a book about that. So I thought, well, I certainly think there would be an interest in that, but I did the research to make sure that there wasn't already a book out there that was kind of in a daily journal format, and I could not find one, so I thought that people would be interested in seeing that.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
How long did that take you to compile all of this? It seems like a lot of research had to go into this.
It took 5 weeks, of including weekends and some 10 and 12-hour days.
More.
And just about 5 weeks to do that. My target was to have it completed by January 1st, and I think we actually published on the 2nd or 3rd of January. So we were pretty close to our target.
Yeah. What are your plans with the book in coming weeks and months throughout the year? Are you planning any events or signings or anything along those lines?
I don't have any yet. I was actually a little surprised when I first published it. Again, I wanted to share the information, but then I had people asking for signed copies of the book. And so we arranged to do that over some lunches and so forth. Right now, we don't have any public signings that are planned, but I'm certainly looking into that right now, and I'll make sure to share that information.
So if you have some, will that appear like on the Facebook page that you mentioned, or is there a website that you'd like to send people to?
Yes, right now the Facebook page, which again has the same name, 1968 space plus sign 50, as the book.
All right. Anything I didn't ask, Tony, that you'd like to add?
Well, on the good side, again, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. For the best of times, it was a great year for music and the Beatles, who I think are acknowledged by many people. That was really the peak year for the Beatles. Hey Jude was the peak song of their entire time. And for sports, it was an incredible year for baseball. Our Detroit Tigers won a world championship. Denny McClain won 31 games, which had not been done since the mid-30s and hasn't been done since. Bob Gibson had a 1.12 earned run average, which is virtually unapproachable these days. I don't think we'll ever see that again. And the Olympics took place. The Summer Olympics took place in Mexico City, and that was historic, not only in terms of some of the sprint performances in which world records were set, but particularly in the men's 200 meters with the Black Power salute, Tommy Smith and John Carlos after that race. And that is an area where sports transcended culture and became an event that was publicized not only because it was a sports event, but because it was done so publicly.
And where is the book available other than Amazon for those of us who like to support local businesses?
Right now, it's only available on Amazon. People can order it on Amazon either in paperback or in Kindle version, but we will be making some versions available at some local bookstores as well.
I'm sure they'd be glad to see you. Well, thank you so much, Tony. Appreciate your dropping in.
Thank you, Zinta.